Hey there. You're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, we'll be hearing from actor, comedian, musician, and host of the Netflix show Brainchild, Sahana Srinivasan. But before we get started, I want to let you know that February is Love Austin Music Month here at KUTX, the radio station in Austin, Texas, where we make this podcast. We have joined forces with the Austin Music Foundation and the City of Austin to encourage people to spend the month of February loving on Austin's music scene. You can head to kutx.org/loveaustinmusic to find ideas on how to show your support. Like, there's a crowdsourced list of shows by local bands. Maybe you want to tell us about a show. Maybe you want to go see a show. There's a list of businesses offering special offers to music lovers. There's a list of organizations that help Austin bands. Maybe you want to help one of those organizations. And you can show your love for Austin music on social media by using the hashtag #LoveAustinMusic. And every time you do that, you'll be entered to win a big goodie bag stuffed with treats from other Love Austin Music partners. And look, I know some of you don't actually live in Austin, but you don't actually have to be here to join in the fun. You can always get a taste of the Austin music experience by listening to KUTX. You can listen online at kutx.org or on our sweet mobile app. Now, to Sahana Srinivasan. She's an actor, comedian, musician, and the host of the Netflix show Brainchild, which, by the way, my kids love and are somewhat obsessed with. Brainchild, in case you haven't seen it, is this amazing show that breaks down pretty complicated science ideas for kids in this totally interesting and fun way. They cover all kinds of subjects, like everything from what happens to your body in space, spoiler alert, it is not pretty, to whether the 5-second rule is really a thing, to how social media relates to your primal instincts. It's one of those shows that parents can happily watch with their kids because it doesn't pander or talk down to kids, but rather treats children like the curious and capable beings that they are. And I was really pleased to see how diverse the kids and the actors on the show are. Like, I feel like it's a true reflection of the world my kids and I live in. And my kids, they love this show so much. Like, they watch the same episodes over and over, and they are big fans of Sahana. She sets a perfect tone for the show. She's smart, she's personable, she's really funny, which is why when I found out that not only could I talk to her, but I could also meet her, I totally jumped at the chance. It turns out that Sahana is a senior in the film school here at the University of Texas at Austin. And KUTX is also part of the university, which means Sahana found the studio pretty easily. And she was very cool. She allowed my kids to attend the interview, which was huge for them. It made me look really good. I mean, for them, she's a total rock star. And as far as I'm concerned, they are right to adore her. She's a great host. She makes films. She does comedy around town. She's an actor. And as it turns out, she's a musician. And I got to talk to her one afternoon at KUTX, and she told me about a song that really helped her in her early creative journey.
My friend posted this song called Where Will I Go by a group called Sweet Valley. It's definitely not a song that a lot of people know. It's like an independent band. It was on SoundCloud. I didn't even know really what SoundCloud was. This was like probably when I was like early high school, probably. And it was sort of very different from what I was used to hearing, like on the radio or just anything that my friends had recommended or whatever. And it sort of resonated with me because I felt during that time I was trying to figure out what kind of stories I wanted to tell or what kind of art I wanted to make, and it resonated with that weird, wacky kind of art theme that I was going for. A lot of their songs use not just musical chords, but other elements like arcade noises or video game, you know, noises or something. And there's like a whole genre of music that does that, you know, just you'll hear like samples from movies or from video games or whatever. And I thought that was kind of cool. And I was like, okay, music can be anything, you know, like I want to try doing that. You know, it kind of got me excited about how music isn't just the same chords. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. I guess it made me feel understood, sort of. That sounds like really deep, but not in like in a deep sense. It was more just like, oh, like this is me. I'm sort of random, and I can picture this like being a soundtrack to my day or something. It was also very different. I guess that's why I felt like, oh, I can relate to this because it's different, like me, you know.
Was it something that where you kind of felt seen?
Yeah, I guess it felt more personal, like, and not just this song, but any song that I discovered on SoundCloud initially, it wasn't exactly produced super professionally all the time, and you can tell, and I sort of liked that because I could really like pick out, you know, the parts of the song and try to emulate it sort of in my own way, and that was a good learning experience too at the same time. Like, I liked that, how it was just like raw and unedited.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Were you playing music at the time that you heard this?
Yeah, I had been playing piano since I was a kid, probably like 6 years old or so. So I learned a lot of like technical aspects. But my piano teacher was super cool in the sense that she let me like, a lot of piano teachers I feel are like, this is a song you should play this classical piece. And she did encourage me to do that just because that's a great way to learn. But she also encouraged me to like, find a song from a movie I liked and play it by ear, and then she would help me, you know, like play it better, etc. And she knew I liked composing, so she helped me do that, which I'm super thankful for. And during that time when I heard, you know, independent songs on SoundCloud, I was like, okay, I'm gonna just make my own thing. And so I just went to GarageBand, and it's not like I was just putting together loops, you know, which also is fine. It's also cool. But I was like recording them on my piano or just playing them on the instruments that were there. And totally, like, you can do a lot of stuff with just GarageBand. And it's free and it comes with your phone. You can take it anywhere. And that's when you can shine as a creative person or as an artist, because then we can really tell it's not just the camera or it's not just the software that's making you look good. It's your talent.
Well, and one of the things that struck me when you talked about hearing the Sweet Valley song when you were a kid was that you were at a point, kind of early high school, since mm-hmm. like 14, 15.
Yeah.
Where you wanted to make some decisions about what kind of artist you wanted to be and mm-hmm. what kind of art you wanted to make. Mm-hmm. And that's actually like that's really young for most people to identify themselves as an artist. So you grew up playing piano, but did you grow up in like an artistic household?
Yeah. So my parents really encouraged me to, you know, take lessons in different fields of art, and not even lessons, but just like grow and try everything. Like they would encourage me to do local talent shows and drawing contests that they would offer at school, etc. And my parents are really passionate about the arts too. Both my parents, like, I think especially my mom is musically inclined and just like they have an eye for home decor and everything. And my dad, especially in college, would do like impressions and was in the spotlight. And I guess he really liked performing and stuff. So all of that really got passed down to my sister and I. She's a great hip hop dancer and she was also in percussion in band. So she has a great sense for rhythm. And growing up, we both actually took art classes. Yeah, and acting as well. Like, I started taking film acting lessons when I was 13. And before that, I did a lot of, like, plays and just, like, one-man, you know, skit type thing. One woman. and I just was super into performing ever since I was a kid. So, yeah, that was definitely like you said, early on, I already had identified, like, yeah, this is definitely what I want to do, you know, something creative.
Right. And so when you heard the Sweet Valley song and you started making your own compositions, was there ever a point at which you thought, you know what, I think I might, like, really just go off and, like, focus on being a musician? Or did it always kind of run concurrently with all the other things you were doing?
That's a good question. Even now, or, like, especially then, I was, like, going through these phases of focusing on one kind of art, but I was still doing everything. You know, it was just, like, more attention on one thing. So for, like, maybe 2 years, I was just really into making my own music, like, experimenting on GarageBand and making my own stuff. But at the same time, I was still, like, going to acting classes and drawing and everything. But then after that, I kind of stopped sort of making music and stuff and focused more on, like, filmmaking. And I incorporated some of those songs that I used into, like, the credits or something. So it was just, like, leveling up sort of and using whatever I did in the past to help me, you know, with my current projects and stuff.
Yeah, and when it seems like the thing that you were doing as a kid where you did kind of everything all the time, you continue to do it.
Right.
Because as I did my research and read up on you, you know, at first it was like, oh, she's the host of Brainchild. And at first I was almost like, she's a scientist. We'll talk about science. And then I was like, no, she's a film major. But wait, she does comedy and she's a musician. And she's... So it seems that that's all happening still, where it's all happening kind of
right
at once.
The only thing I don't do is sports, and I wish I did. I wish I was able to play basketball or something. I'm so bad at it, but it's okay. But yeah, I do incorporate everything that I do, you know, into everything. Like you said, I am doing multiple things at the same time, but they're sort of related to each other. Or, you know, when I was younger, I was having a harder time figuring out how to connect all of those things that I was doing. But now I'm, like, figuring out what my overall theme is or what I want to accomplish and how I can incorporate everything together, you know. So a lot of my film is, you know, film work is comedic, you know, but I'm also doing stand-up and telling stories there. And even the music videos are kind of funny, too.
And do you think that, does it all come from the same place? That's something I'm always interested in, because people who do a lot of creative things at the same time, like, because they're very different disciplines, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
So making music is very different from acting, is very different from making a film.
Mm-hmm.
But at the core, they're all creative endeavors that, you know, spring from some kind of, like, open part of ourselves.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, for you, do they come from kind of the same place?
I think it does come from the same place, or a similar place. Like, a lot of the stuff that I do incorporates some of my cultural background in some way, or just a feeling out of place, sort of, just because I grew up in two different cultures, and I'm like, I don't know, I like, growing up, I felt like, okay, I'm not doing the same things that some of my Indian friends are doing, or I'm not doing the same, it just, like, I just didn't know where to belong. But then now it's like, especially coming to college, it's like, wow, there's so many people who are weird and just don't belong. And that's actually very cool. So it does come from that feeling, you know, and taking that and then with my art, making me feel more like I do belong.
Was that feeling that you were talking about earlier when you heard Sweet Valley and you kind of said, like, I kind of can see myself in this music.
Mm-hmm.
Was that feeling of being out of place and not quite fitting in anywhere and feeling weird, is that the same feeling that you're talking about right now?
I think so. Yeah, that does make sense now that I think about it. It's when I was listening to that kind of music, I was like, okay, this makes more sense compared to when I was listening to Hot and Cold, Katy Perry, you know, I was like, this is really fun to dance to, but for some reason I don't feel like super connected to it, you know, and I feel like I connected more with this kind of music because it sort of resembled me.
Like, it's not just one thing. It's
yeah.
like a bunch of different
yeah,
things
exactly.
at the same time.
part of your journey, it's all kind of led you to this specific moment in time where you are hosting a Netflix show explaining science ideas kids and adults called Brainchild. So I'd love to hear a little, just a little bit about how you got there.
So, like I said, I'd been performing my whole life. Like, I did theater and singing, funny skits, whatever, just on stage as a kid for talent shows, etc. And then I started taking film acting lessons when I was 13. And I guess before that, I didn't know, like, I would see actors, you know, on TV and be like, well, I don't even know. I guess that's on some different planet, you know? I have no idea how they even do that. Like, how do you even get into, it's almost like trying to figure out how a computer works, you know? It's just like, let them do their thing, whatever. And so then when I realized, oh, no, there is a place where I can go and, you know, make connections with the industry, I think that's when I realized that I could make a career out of this, you know, at the studios where I really grew, and they had like casting workshops and like scouting, like agents would come and see you do a scene, and sometimes they would be interested in you. And that's where I gained agency representation with Kim Dawson in Dallas and then Innovative Artists in LA. And after that, I started auditioning for some projects, got close on some, booked a few, you know, got rejected a lot, which really helped, I think, especially for stand-up, because you get rejected pretty much every night by the entire crowd. But learning that at a younger age, I think, really humbled me and made me really thick-skinned. And then eventually, you know, after all of this, I ended up booking Brainchild. I actually filmed it, the original taped audition, because they were doing auditions in New York. I taped for it in my room, in my, like, apartment, and it was very, like, simple, and they liked it. And then I booked the project and filmed it from last, I think, December through February.
It's time to discover the good,
excuse me, boys,
the bad, and the OMG.
Get ready to change the way you think about thinking on Brainchild.
You're gonna love it.
There is a 0% chance of that happening.
I say this, like, even though Brainchild was like a year and a half or a little bit longer for the writers and, you know, the larger team. But for me, it was like a year or so in the making. But really, it's more like 15 plus years in the making. Like, if I didn't have all of those other experiences, I feel like it wouldn't have led me, you know, to that if I didn't do all of that other stuff.
And Brainchild is such a creative show. I mean, I think that probably all, you know, anything where you're getting a group of really creative people together and making something on a large scale is exciting. But Brainchild is especially, I think, innovative in the way that it tries to bring science ideas to people in like a funny way or like an interesting way, because people don't always think of science as terribly interesting and funny, right? So what was it like to be, you know, on the set of Brainchild and working with all of these people who were working to make these ideas happen and in these creative ways? Did you feel like you were surrounded by a bunch of people like you?
So on the set of Brainchild, it was mainly me, like the cast member. And we'd have like the puppet, or some days we'd interact with kids, you know, who'd be on set. So mainly, like, the people I talked with the most were the crew, who are a lot older than me, but actually really enjoyed that. They really let me use some of my own humor, you know, in the delivery and even writing some of the ad-libs or whatever. Like, if I had a suggestion, they were super open, and that's not always the case, you know, on set. And it's totally understandable why. It's like their baby, you know, they wrote it, and if someone else is coming and telling you, hey, you know, it's like, as a filmmaker, I would feel like, no, you know, back off kind of thing. But fortunately, they really trusted my vision too, and I really trusted theirs, and together we were able to make something, you know, entertaining and something that doesn't talk down to kids, which I think is what kids really enjoy about it, is that it's just like, oh, it's my friend Sahana, you know, talking to me.
And again, if I fail IRL, maybe one person will see it and then quickly forget. But if I fail on social media, everybody sees it, and it sticks around forever.
And it also explores the science of your surroundings, your everyday life, you know, social media, dreams, you know, stuff that is not as complicated as photosynthesis or something that you would, you know, learn in school, but maybe it is, you know, and the only way to like deliver that is to, like you said, to be entertaining and fun and treat kids like they are, like they're very smart, you know. I feel like we really reached out to them that way.
So one of the things is that you're one of the few women of color in a position like this where you're hosting mm-hmm. a kids show, hosting a science show. But it seems like the thing that you primarily bring to the show is that thing that you kind of like identified when you were in early high school, which is yourself as like a complex human being mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and your quirkiness. Is that something that you consciously thought about when you were making Brainchild?
On Brainchild, the focus is not I'm an Indian person, you know, like that's not the biggest thing. It's just me talking about science and being, like you said, quirky or fun. But yeah, just the wardrobe, the jokes, that is what makes me unique, not the fact that I'm Indian, you know. So yeah, I feel like Brainchild really let me shine as myself, along with just letting me also incorporate some of the traditions from my culture too. Because like in the creativity episode, I wear a traditional Indian like chudidar, because I really wanted to, but they didn't say like, oh, cool chudidar or cool whatever. It was just like, I just wore it. Kind of like how I did in high school or whatever. I just wore it to school, and that wasn't, at the time it was a big deal apparently, but in the show it really wasn't. And I feel like that's super relatable to kids growing up and Indian kids growing up in America who are like, oh, I could just do that. That's so cool how they just didn't make any weird commentary about it.
And have you been getting a lot of response in your role? Have you been surprised at the amount of response that you've gotten from, like, for instance, my children are out there mm-hmm. and they're like, they're blown away by yeah. you. They think you're amazing. And so do I, personally. I was a little nervous before this, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, man. So, I know I'm really scary and big and have
you're
huge
gigantic
muscles,
and
but,
beautiful.
But yeah, it's really sort of unexpected but pleasantly surprising, you know, to see the amount of positive feedback, especially from kids, because they're so pure and so sweet. And it's that age where you're just picking your role models. And for me to be considered a role model is like such an honor, you know. For me, I'd rather be a role model for like kids than like maybe an older age group. And if I can impact them at a young age, you know, positively, that like stays with them, you know, for the rest of their life. And that's so cool to think about. And especially with young children of color or Indian children too, for them to see like, oh, my older sister is on screen talking to me kind of thing. It's like, that's so cool for them too. Because growing up, I didn't really have that. And it would have been great, you know, if I were to see that, feel like I would have jumped into, you know, filmmaking and acting much sooner had I seen that. I don't know how much sooner, because I said I started when I was like six, so maybe like I was in the womb and I'm already like making stuff. I don't know, but
or maybe you wouldn't have felt like such a sense of disconnect,
yeah,
you know, when you were a kid. Maybe
right.
It would have just been like, I am part of mainstream culture, this is it, and like I can be whoever I want.
Exactly.
Like, that would feel great, you
that,
know?
Yeah, and that was also like just growing up, even with acting, I felt like I had to change myself or be a certain caricature, or if I was going to be, you know, portraying my culture or like who I am or whatever, I felt like it'd be funny if I do an accent or something. And that was no, I don't. There's so much other funny stuff in my life that doesn't revolve around that. But yeah, now I realize that I don't have to play to those stereotypes that I thought I did when I was younger. And if it wasn't going to be something that focused on my culture, then I was like, okay, then I have to have lighter hair or something, or I got to do something to look more likable. And that's like, no, I'm already likable.
This is Slow Trails by Sahana Srinivasan. You can find it on SoundCloud. And listen, if you have kids, or even if you don't,
you should totally check out Brainchild. Either way, you will learn something, and you'll have fun, and you'll get to see how engaging Sahana is. She's delightful. And if you live in Austin, you can catch her doing comedy around town. You can find a link to her shows on the show notes page for this episode, along with a link to Brainchild, because you need to watch it. And normally, I would direct you to a Spotify playlist on the show notes page, but instead, today, I'm going to point you towards a SoundCloud playlist, because that's where so much of the music in this episode lives. If you like this episode, we'd love it if you'd leave a rating or a review on iTunes, or if you're on NPR One, you could hit that little light bulb. We'd really appreciate it. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. This interview was edited by Nadia Hamdan. Thank you so much, Nadia. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Or maybe it's pronounced Mahout. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.